We are talking fluent APIs, custom serialization, and streaming APIs in Cosmos DB. These are underdog features of the Cosmos DB .NET SDK that you won't want to miss. Check it out. The Cosmos DB .NET SDK has been out for several months now, but there are some underdog features that are perhaps very valuable, but not as well known. We're kicking off a mini-series today on on.NET, where we cover those underdog features and expose them to you. I'm here with Matthias from the Cosmos DB team.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what you do on the team.
Well, I'm an engineer in the SDK team. So the idea of this talk and these episodes is to kind of shed some light on APIs and features that we have in the SDK that are not really well known and are amazing in some particular scenarios.
Sounds great. Let's go ahead and jump in. I don't think it needs any introduction whatsoever.
Awesome. So the first one is the builder pattern or builder or fluent pattern. Basically, let me jump to the code directly. So we have in the Cosmos client, you know, the most common way is just newing up a Cosmos client. But this other builder way is creating an instance of the Cosmos builder. And then we can start using the extensions, the with extensions, to add features into the client. For example, the first one is I'm defining which is the name of the application that I'm going to use the client on. And this is used across all the requests that the application does. The good thing about the application name is it changes or actually adds the information into the user agent. So if we are then using Azure Monitor or other login solutions and we want to track which are the requests that are coming from our different applications where we are using the SDK, we can start to filter by the name appearing in the user agent when we define the application name.
Nice.
Other things I can do is I can change the connection mode between gateway and direct mode. I'd rather say that the Cosmos DB V3 SDK compared with the V2 SDK uses direct mode by default. So if I want to change to gateway, I need to explicitly tell the client to do so. I can
Then the gateway mode is the more direct mode, so it's not layered on top of HTTP?
No, the contrary. So gateway,
contrary.
Exactly. Gateway mode is the HTTPS based connection mode, and the direct mode is a TCP one.
So by default, we're doing a direct TCP connection.
Exactly.
If we configure gateway, we're going over HTTPS.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then we have the application region. The idea of the application region is to define where the application is deployed to. So from the SDK point of view, we can select which are the account endpoints which are closest to the region you are connecting to. Then we can change, if we want, the consistency level. And we can customize things like the retrying behavior based on throttling. Like I mentioned before, this exact same thing that I did here with the builder pattern, I can do it with the most, you know, the normal or more known way of, you know, creating a Cosmos client and then creating an instance of Cosmos client options and then setting all the properties.
Sure. So it's basically a question of which convention that you like to work with.
Exactly.
You can do the same thing with both. But I personally love fluent API design. I think it's very clean and readable. So having an option to be able to do it that way. In fact, if that wasn't there, I might actually build some extension
some
methods
extension.
Myself. So it's nice to have it built
And there
in.
Is another thing that we do is we add, when we are working with Cosmos DB, we normally create a database. And inside that the database, we create containers.
Right.
The idea is that you can create a container with, again, you know, doing new Cosmos container, defining the partition key, and so on and so forth. But we also have support for this Fluent API, where we are basically saying, for example, which is the default time to live. Or if I want to define the indexing policy, I want to define which is the indexing mode. Or I want to define the excluded paths or included path if I'm customizing which fields are indexed and which aren't. And I can even define which is the unique key that I want to be used with the container. So again, this is a more friendlier way to define the container and change its configurations. And we can do the same thing with, you know, just the normal APIs that do a new container and pass all the properties.
Okay, but at the end of the day, what you get back is either a Cosmos client or a Cosmos container in this case.
It's the same result, but we basically take the approach from the developer's point of view that it's more akin to what we like.
Okay, makes sense.
Awesome. So that's the first one. The second one, and I'm showing GitHub at the moment because everything that I'm going to show you, all the code, it's on GitHub at the moment, so you can clone it and use it. The second one is custom serialization. In the B2 SDK, in Cosmos DB, we basically took into heart listening to our customers and identifying which were the pain points that they, you know, most commonly went through. And one of them was serialization. The B3 SDK, as the B2 SDK, uses JSON.NET as the default serializing mechanism, the default serializing engine. But we provide two options. And with this, I'm going to jump again to the code. And let me go back. So the first one is we can define options that will customize how the serializer works. So we have JSON.NET, and we will use it to serialize an item into the database. But that serializer will have some particular behaviors that I can define, again, using this builder pattern that we've used in the previous example. We can do the same thing without the builder. But since we are talking about builders and fluents initially, we'll show the builder approach.
So I can do some things like, by default, if a value is null, instead of having that property and showing it as null, it's just simply not stored in the database.
And I can define the naming policy if I want to use camel case
capital first or not.
Exactly.
Basically.
So in order to test that, I have this JSON model here. It's just a basic class with no decorators whatsoever. And what it's going to do is it's going to just get the container and create the item based on the C# model. And the other, I'm going to run both at the end, so I'll just first explain both options, and then we can just run the code and see how it behaves.
Okay.
The other option is basically you define your own custom serializer. We expose an abstract-based class called Cosmos Serializer, and the only thing you need to do is just override the from stream and the to stream. The to stream obviously is used when you are saving an item into the database, and the from stream is used when the database is responding with the stream of information and you want to, you know, convert that stream into a class.
Okay.
In this case, in this example, I'm using system.text.json and its own serializer, and I have basically another model. And this one is using, for example, decorators that are only available in the system.text.json.
So am I understanding correctly, the stream that ultimately gets passed to Cosmos should be JSON content. However, I am able to manipulate that. So I get a class, and I can control if I wanted to, instead of an array, to make that just a set of unique properties, whatever. I have flexibility.
Exactly. Okay. And you can either use the built-in JSON.NET serializer with some custom options, or basically take the abstract class, implement it yourself, and when you are new in the Cosmos client, define your own custom serializer.
Okay.
So it's, again, the same code. We are just creating an item, and it will use two separate serializers. So let me just basically do the .NET run, and this should create, and while this runs, let's go to the Azure portal, which obviously expired the session.
Refresh that session. We are doing live in the portal Cosmos DB interactions. And it's up. And you know the trick, right, of moving your mouse clockwise to speed up the loads?
I didn't know that.
Okay, you should try it.
Are you sure?
Works like a charm.
Okay, so now I have my two items. If I go back to the console, I can see that it created two items, one with the custom serializer and one with the serializer options. So if I go to the first one, which is using the custom serializer, I can see that the ID and title, let's zoom this in. I can see that the ID and title, or not.
You can collapse the left SQL API
will be much
panel.
Easier, yeah. Okay, awesome. We can see that the ID and title are using the JSON properties that I was defining in these system text JSON decorators inside my model. And
right.
if I go to the other one, we'll see that it is using, if I go again to the JSON.net, I was using uppercase, and it's now using lowercase. And it didn't serialize the property that we had that wasn't being assigned. So it was basically following the ignore null values and camel case property naming policy.
Got it.
So it's two ways to deal with custom serialization. So
okay.
if you like JSON.NET, you can customize it. If you don't like JSON.NET, you can build.
Well, this will be great too if we have a legacy set of classes that we're bringing to Cosmos DB and
yep.
you're already using a serializer format
exactly.
to be able to plug that right in and use that. Seems,
yep.
seems to make a lot of sense.
Yep, it does. And finally, the last one that I have is basically handling streams. So there are two major pain points that we've seen with users across time. One is handling the Cosmos client instance, and the other is working with middleware applications. And when I mention middleware applications, it's those that are maybe a web API, where I have a web client or an application that is talking to my web API, and it's my web API who talks with Cosmos DB.
So it's like a proxy almost,
exactly.
passing it through. Yep.
Exactly. And in previous SDK versions, the only way to do this conversation is you had to have your model class in your middleware, and you had to use that model to basically serialize the information, pass it to Cosmos DB, get the response, serialize it, and pass it back.
So we're serializing twice, once to get it to the Cosmos DB format, once to return it.
Exactly.
On the other side of the API.
And you would end up creating code in the middleware, which would be probably C# classes that were mapping payloads coming from the client, but you weren't really using it. It was just in order to do the serialization. So the B3 SDK exposes some stream APIs. These stream APIs will let you basically send streams directly to the Cosmos DB database and receive streams from the Cosmos DB database and pass it back and forth without really doing any kind of serialization. So it takes away all the performance that was being taken up when you were serializing and deserializing without really needing to. So basically, what I'm going to show you is, I'm going to press F5. This is a normal and simple web API, ASP.NET Core web API application, where I have two actions, the read item and I have the save item. Now, if we go up here to the controller definition, you will see that I'm getting this Cosmos client in. So the idea of this Cosmos client in is that I'm using the DI, or dependency injection, in ASP.NET Core to define a singleton instance of the Cosmos client. One of the most common pitfalls that I've seen users fall into is that when they are creating Cosmos-related applications, they might end up newing or creating multiple instances of the same client connecting to the same account. So what we want to do as a performance optimization is just create one client and reuse it across the lifetime of your application.
Which is very straightforward in MVC applications or web API because
yep.
it's just a registration.
Exactly. So I create the instance of the client and I do services.addSingleton. Now, when I do this approach, the only thing is I'm getting in the controller the Cosmos client instance. Now, there are some users that would like to, maybe their account have multiple containers.
Right.
And they would like to have some way to, predefine which are the containers they want to work with. Because if I get the client, I need to do a client.getContainer and basically get the instance of the container. I need to know which is the name of the container that I want to use. And we've seen people that they just want to have those container instances pre-provisioned beforehand based on some logic or configuration. So another approach that I've seen is you can create a proxy class. And this proxy can do all the internal logic that you need to, you know, pre-select or pre-create the container instances. And then again, use the single tool pattern to pass that proxy around. So you can either pass the Cosmos client or create a proxy instance and have it, sorry, this is the proxy, and have it being injected into the controllers.
Makes sense.
The main takeaway is make sure to use one client instance across the lifetime.
Okay.
So the idea is this is exposing a read item and this is exposing a save item. And if you take a closer look here, we'll see that we are calling create item stream, and we are not passing any T or any type. And I'm just passing the body of the request that is coming from the client directly to the CosmosDB SDK.
Okay, skipping the entire serialization.
Exactly. And this is Postman, so what I'm going to do is this is a simple JSON payload, nothing fancy. So I click send, and this guy is hitting the backend. I will just move forward, and I will see that the response contains basically information about the CosmosDB response from the server. If I click play and I move forward, I can get the headers. Well, actually, yes. I can get the response down here, sorry. And I can just get all the CosmosDB related headers, like, for example, the request charts to see how many are used that operation took on my CosmosDB account. But the important thing is I'm not doing any kind of serialization on the server because I really don't care. I'm just servicing a request coming from the client, saving the stream, getting the response, passing it back. I'm not making
any. And it's just pure JSON that you sent in, so this will work directly with any type of front-end client, basically.
Exactly. And the same thing can be done with read operations. There is a read item stream async, which takes the ID and the partition key, and I get just a response. For example, if I do, this is passing an ID that doesn't exist, I'm going to click send, and this guy here will basically move forward. And I will see that there is a response of a 404 not found, because that document doesn't exist. But if I use the ID that I just saved, then, and I click play again, I will get the JSON document that was stored in the previous step.
Nice.
But the important thing is, again, this middleman is not applying any kind of serialization. It's just taking the stream from the server, passing it down. And then it's the client side, in this case Postman, which basically renders that information or consumes that information.
So it should make it incredibly easy for me to stand up a set of web APIs to interface with my database that's just basically a proxy to pass through, because I don't want the full client connecting directly from my front end. So my front end can securely access the web API that can pass through to Cosmos DB.
Exactly.
But we're not adding those extra serialization and deserialization steps.
That's the point of this particular topic. Most of the people will basically do something like going to the read item and doing read item async and then pass
it a type.
Some model here.
Right.
But the thing is, you need to create that model into your web API. And if the client, for some reason, changes the model, then you need to remember to update the model here. And you have, like we mentioned before, the caveats of, you know, lowercase, camel case, and all that.
You lose the flexibility of having a non-structured or a semi-structured database,
exactly.
I should say.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, those were kind of like the big tips that I wanted to show on this first episode.
Awesome. So those have been some underdog features of the Cosmos DB SDK. We are going to give you the link to the GitHub repo that has these links. We also have a few more features that are coming up in the next episode, so stay tuned for that, and thank you for joining us.